Just want to ponder a little bit on that last reading, because sometimes we read these things and we don't really think about what it was like at the time. So it was about 2,000 years ago, and a few shepherds gathered around a fire in the hills above a little town called Bethlehem in the nation of Judea, a place called Judea, in the country of Israel. We've heard of Israel here, yeah? And it was a beautifully clear night. The moon was shining, the stars were bright. It was quite magnificent. But you know, the shepherds were more concerned, I think, about keeping warm. It was a chilly night, and they gathered their cloaks around them and tried to get in close towards the fire. There was the smell of the sheep in the air, because they were shepherds, and they could hear the breeze every now and again coming through, and the crackling of the fire. And they were chatting, they were talking, like you and I might talk. And as we lean in, we can hear their conversation, we can hear some of the things they're saying. They're having a bit of banter. One of the younger shepherds is thinking about the breakfast he's about to have later that morning with his mum. Porridge and pita bread. You could feel the taste in his mouth at the time. It was quite delicious. But as we listen a little longer, we start hearing them talking about the things that they're struggling with in life. One of them's talking about his health. His back's been playing up. And he's concerned that he might even have the flu that's going around the village at the time. Another one's talking about the struggles with finances, and they all agree the Roman taxes are crippling them. And they're finding it hard to put bread on the table. And then the conversation goes a little deeper, and they start talking about the struggles they're having. One of them's talking about the struggles in marriage, struggling with his wife. They're arguing a lot. Another one's being honest about the fact that his heart's broken. His father has recently passed away, and he's grieving. And another one's even more honest. He starts talking about the struggles with mental health. Yes, he's being honest about feeling lonely at times, and sometimes he even feels depressed. And then in the midst of that conversation, that honest conversation, suddenly an angel appears and breaks into their life. It was an otherworldly experience, as though the curtain had been pulled back into the unseen spiritual realm that's more real than we are. And that angel is there, and the angel's speaking to them. You know, I've experienced on my journey that God does draw near to us. And probably if we ask around the room, we'd all admit there's been times when almost like God was knocking on the door of our hearts. An otherworldly experience. We feel strangely stirred inside. Maybe it was through a song. Or maybe it's through a reading or someone speaking. And you feel a strange sense inside that God is knocking on the door of your heart. You're feeling stirred inside. Or maybe, like me, Valentine's Day in 1980... and I was sitting in my room at college, and I was all on my own, there was no one else around, and God started to speak to me in my heart. He was knocking on the door of my heart, and I believed what he was saying, and I responded and said yes. And at that moment, it was as though God turned up in that room, and a strange sense of his love was poured into my heart. I hadn't cried for 7 or 8 years. I was a captain of the track team, one of the lads on campus. But I was strangely moved by this incredible love, and I wept like a baby. I was never the same again. That was in 1980. Or maybe God's knocked on your heart through creation. My 90-year-old mother sitting at the back there, mother-in-law sitting at the back. Tomorrow's her birthday. She'll be 91 years old. There's a little applause. And God spoke to her through a flock of birds, can you believe? And she was marveling at these birds' creation. You see, God can come to us in many different ways and stir our hearts. Maybe even as I'm speaking now, you're sensing something inside going on. God's knocking on that door of your heart. He's speaking to you. Maybe it's more dramatic. Maybe you look and think back over your life and there's been moments when you've known God's been very close. My wife is sitting at the back there, and only a few years ago, she had a very dramatic encounter with God. You see, it was after the tragic death of our beautiful 32-year-old daughter, Rebecca, who drowned when we were living in America in a tragic situation. And that was the second of our three children who'd passed away. Jeannie couldn't go on. She came to her wit's end, and her mother heartbroken, she was going to end it all. And she went into her room, and she wasn't going to come out. But God turned up. It wasn't an angel, but it was a sense of actually Jesus was there. Didn't see a physical form, but there was a sense, a very real sense, and there was light in the room. And God spoke to her, and she was completely transformed. I know, because I saw when she went up, and she was like a zombie, she wasn't really there. And when she came downstairs, she was completely transformed. Maybe God's speaking to you, maybe not in that dramatic sense at the moment, but he's speaking to you right now. And God spoke to those angels. The angels spoke to those shepherds that night. And what did he say? What did the angels say? Well, the first thing was, don't be afraid. You see, when God draws near to us and we sense him speaking to us, sometimes we think, oh, maybe God's going to take some life away from me. Maybe he's going to ask me to do things that I don't want to do. It's not going to be nice. It couldn't be further from the truth. You see, God only brings good things into our lives. Fullness of life, the best of life, quality life inside. It may be not what the world says on the outside, or all the things that the world says is important. What really matters is what you've got in your heart, doesn't it? Love, joy, peace. Those are the things that really matter, aren't they? That's what he promises us. And then he says, then we bring you good news of great joy. Great joy for you and for everybody else through history. Great joy. Why? Because a Saviour has been born to you. A Saviour has come. Messiah. The Jewish people have been waiting for this Messiah who is going to put all things right. And he'd finally come. He'd arrived. And of course then there was a host of other angels who were coming to praise God and just joining in the celebration of this incredible event. His name is Jesus, means Saviour, Christ, anointed one, and he'd come to bring great joy. Why is it great joy? Well, I'd say three things is great joy. First of all, he comes to rescue us in our struggles in life. Secondly, he comes to restore us into relationship with God. And thirdly, he comes to redeem us. He comes to make a way back into relationship with God by dealing with this great barrier that we all have between us and God. It's a barrier caused by sin. Those things that we do in our life that grieve God, that offend him, that hurt him, and collectively mess up this world. Yes, it needs to be dealt with, and Jesus came to deal with it. What is this thing called sin? Some people say, well, you know what? Yeah, I know I've done a few things wrong. A few things I shouldn't have done, but on the whole, I'm a pretty good person. And, you know, if you measure it up, the good things outweigh the bad things. But really, when you think about that argument, it doesn't really stack up. Even when you think about the law today, if you go and park in the wrong place and the guy comes along and says, well, I'm going to give you a ticket, you can say, well, please don't give me a ticket because all these other times I've parked in the right place. Forgive me this one time, will you? Or maybe if you're speeding, I know you never speed, but just imagine if you were speeding and the officer comes up and says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to book you. You're going to have a fine for this. And you say, well, no, don't do that, because all these other times I've been within the speed limit. It's only this one time I've gone over. Doesn't work like that, does it? Or maybe you say, you know, on balance, I'm pretty good, really. I've done quite well. And if we took this wall here as a sort of standard, because that's what we think about, isn't it, the standard. I'm pretty good. We can compare it to other people. Top of the wall, who do you think would be at the top? Mother Teresa, maybe? Up there, maybe your mum. Maybe your mum's pretty high up. Up there, Ben's pretty high up as well. I'm pretty low down here, and then you put Hitler and Pol Pot right at the bottom. That's the standard by what we think. But the question is, really, it doesn't matter what we think. What does God say the standard is? And the standard is the sky. And when you think about the sky, we've all missed it by miles. We need a saviour. And that's what Jesus came to do. He came to be our substitute. He came to take our place. He came to take my place and your place. And in that, in doing that, he took our sins on himself. My sins, he took on himself when he died on that cross. And in taking our sins on, he could rightfully take the punishment that I deserve for my sins, for messing up. Jesus took my punishment on that cross and died with it. And in doing that, he enabled us to be forgiven of our sins and come into relationship with God for eternity. That's good news of great joy. Eternity. Eternity. This life is just a vapor. Eternity. That's good news. Secondly, he came to bring us into relationship with God, into this relationship we need to be fulfilled. People try and fill this vacuum in our hearts with money or with pleasure or fame or whatever. There's only one thing that can fill that vacuum in our hearts, because God made us for this, and that's a relationship with him. He came to bring us into that relationship where we can be complete, we can be whole, because we're walking with our Creator God. And thirdly, he came to rescue us from our struggles. Now, it doesn't mean to say we don't go through struggles, because we do. We're in this world, and it's a broken world. But he said, I promise I will give you what you need to journey on. To journey on with love and peace in your heart. And I'll do that because I'm going to give my life in exchange for your life. And guess what? His life overcame everything that the world could throw at him. And everything that Satan could throw at him. Yes, there is a demonic world out there that wants to destroy our lives. He overcame them all, destroyed them all. And he said, I will give you my life for your life. So when you're going through a hard time, I'll give you what you need to journey on. That's good news of great joy, isn't it? This Christian life is not a life of little, just a small trickle of life. It's a whole torrent of life. That even in the worst of situations, we can know his life in us. We call it God's grace. It's God's grace that comes to us and enables us to journey through and tell other people. And that's what those shepherds did, of course. They went and checked it out. And I encourage you, maybe you've come in here today and you're not quite sure, is this true? Go and check it out. I don't know if we've got Alpha coming up, but maybe later on in the year there'll be Alpha. There's things you can go to. Go and find out if this is true. This is good news of great joy. It's worth spending some time checking it out. He came for you and he came for me. He came for those shepherds. They weren't kings. They weren't some religious people. They were ordinary people like you and like me. He came for us. And he's coming for you this morning. He wants you this morning in relationship with him. Maybe you've never received him. Maybe you've never accepted what he came to do and believed in his name. This morning, you can do that at this Christmas time. It's good news of great joy. May we just pray. Father God, we thank you so much that you came to us in Jesus. He humbled himself and came from the glory of heaven in human form to show us what your love is like, to be our substitute, to take our place, take our sins and the punishment we deserve for our sins, so that we can be in relationship with you for eternity. Father, we want to say thank you for that. And for any who here this morning who haven't yet received Jesus and believed in his name, Lord, I pray that you would touch their hearts deeply right now. And if that is you, maybe you want to just say these little words inside. You don't have to say it outside. Father God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done to offend you and hurt you. And I want to say thank you for Jesus coming as my Savior. I want to receive him now in my heart and for him to be Lord of my life. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good news of great joy. Thank you.